Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit.
Spirit, come. Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Word, and Immanent Holy Spirit, your divine indwelling. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. Be sure to take your insert home in the bulletin that you received, and that'll give all the information of the upcoming events. Also, you can check out the website, consciousharmony.org, for that and for much more. Tuesday evening is our enrichment night with Gurdjieff music. It's going to be especially beautiful. And it's hard to describe unless you're here. It is magnificent. It is feeding for the soul and the spirit, not so much entertainment, but it is wonderful. So if you haven't been here, come and join us. Our next Introduction to Centering Prayer is going to be held this coming Saturday, July 22nd, from 8:30 to 3:15, and that includes lunch on Saturday, and then the classes will meet for the next six consecutive Thursday evenings from 6:30 to 7:30, so you can still attend the work classes. This is a seven-week course in forming a centering prayer practice, and the deadline to register is Tuesday, July 18th. It is fundamental to the spiritual journey. I loved what Emily Cady said in Lessons in Truth. Unless we're sitting with God for an hour a day, we are just preparing to go on the journey. It is in that surrender, that opening to divine love, that transformation happens. So, this is your opportunity to jump in. We're now taking reservations for the August 10-day post-intensive retreat. A post-intensive retreat is a retreat for someone who has done an intensive retreat. They've already done one or two intensive retreats, and they feel a call to move into more silence and solitude with God. So you know who you are. And that's going to be held at Cedar Break. And there is a deadline for the registration for that is July 31st. And for more information, just check with the office. As with all of our centering prayer activities, there are always scholarships available, so never let money hold you back. Please see the insert in your bulletin regarding the work group facilitator proposals for the fall term. The deadline to submit the proposal is Sunday, July 23rd. Gosh, we've got a lot of deadlines. That means we're going to have to pull past those Austin eyes. Mañana, I'll think about that later. If this is your first time here at the Church of Conscious Harmony, welcome. We're glad you're here. And if you'd like to stop by the welcoming table on the other side of the bridge, there will be someone there to greet you and to give you something to take home and read and to begin a dialogue. And now Tim has a message for us.
Before any message, I just want to say something about Tuesday night. Now, I have the great opportunity of sitting in this seat and seeing the back of Susan Bolden and her baby grand while she offers up this extraordinary music that is our heritage from Gurdjieff. Now, as Barb said, there's no way you can really describe this music. It's from another place, clearly. But when I watch Susan from behind driving that piano, I see a force of nature at work, and it is a most glorious thing to behold as well as to hear. So there is something extraordinary going on, and I realize we're all really busy, but we need food. We all need food. And there are several kinds of food that we participate in. The first food is obviously the food that we eat on our tables. The second food that all human beings need and eat is air. Now, you wouldn't really think of it as food, it's just here. It's kind of taken for granted. It's been granted, and we take it. It's just here. But there's a more critical form. It's just as critical. It's called the food of impressions. Now, impressions are a food. They come into us, they're assimilated in our consciousness, and as we take in various types of impressions, we have various types of responses to the quality of those impressions. So if you read something shocking, you can immediately see the change in your psyche. It's quite obvious and instant. Now, oftentimes we don't notice it because we get kind of transfixed by the material we're reading or what we're looking at. We don't notice the interior responses that are going on and on and on to the various impressions that we take in. Now, the impressions, as I've learned to understand them through the eyes of the Gurdjieff teaching, fall into three categories. They're referred to as impressions A, impressions B, and impressions C. A impressions are superficial. They're all about sports scores, the latest political scene, news of the world, all the things that come to us almost like froth or foam. They're not very substantial. They are very attractive. They're hypnotic, as a matter of fact. But we may not notice that they do something to us. They change us inside. C impressions are conscious impressions. They are not in form. They are qualitative. they're in our consciousness, and they come directly out of the moment from God into our lives through the presence of conscious beings like Thomas Keating or Bernadette Roberts or some of the people that I've been privileged to be present to in India. These people are not coming from the place of sports scores. They know nothing about politics. There's a whole other thing that their very presence is speaking, and it too is a food. When I'm around Bernadette, I get fed so much that things are changed after that. The same thing with Thomas. I'm changed every time, and the people I met in India changed me forever. Not because of what they said, although they said things that were profound, it was the quality of their being. The presence that they brought to me was a food that quickened that place in me that was similar to where they were coming from. Now, mostly we don't know we have depths. We're so accustomed to wading in the shallows where the foam and froth are that we're not aware that we have depths. And when someone awakens us to those depths, when something calls us out of our lethargy and our sleep and into the presence of the moment, we're transfixed. Oh my goodness, what happened? I remember the feeling I had been looking for this all my life. And I didn't even know it was existed until then. And so that was a sea influence that came to me. Food. A food that, like A influences, made a change in me. But the quality of the change that the food of sea impressions makes is utterly different. It's of another order, another world, present in this world but invisible to us if we're caught in A influences or the memory of A influences. What runs through our minds is a constant stream of little half-noticed words or thoughts or wishes, likes and dislikes. That's a food too. An interiorly produced food that, if we're not aware of it, goes on sinking us, giving us psychic indigestion, closing our hearts and leaving us in what could be called the mood of doubt, the chronic feeling of doubt and anticipation that something could go wrong. Now, I said there's a third category of influences, and that's B influences. And B influences are conscious influences that have been put into words and concepts and delivered to us for our consideration, offered up to us for us to take in and to let them gestate in us so that they might lead us back to the consciousness from which those influences came. Now, examples of B influences are the Bible, a wonderful B influence treasury, the Bhagavad Gita is a B influence. Teachings of the masters are B influences. They are food. And when we eat that food purposely and intentionally, we notice something begins to quicken in us. Something begins to change in us. And the process of transformation proceeds because the appropriate food has been applied to a seed. Now, today I'm going to bring together two scriptures, one from Isaiah, the 55th chapter of Isaiah, and the other from Matthew's chapter 13, Matthew's Gospel, both about seeds. Seeds. What makes the seed grow? Are we seeds? Christ says we are. He said we're sown into life. We're sown into various places in life. There we will either grow or we will not grow. He says, man is a seed that must die as a seed in order to bear the fruit that God wants from him and for him. And that these seeds are scattered in various locations, not by the sower himself, but pretty much by us. Where our attention goes, what we're feeding on, is what either quickens or deadens our seed. The seed of our personal consciousness is meant to transform from egoity and a sense of separation and isolation and into the wide, open-minded, open-hearted Christ, the Son of God. Now that Son of God is already here, always has been, can't not be. But the appropriate food, which I hope we are sharing this morning, is a food that quickens that seedness in us, that incipient consciousness in us, to grow and grow and grow. He talks about 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold return. Now, he says that some of that seed fell on the wayside and it was trampled underfoot. And that's where the A influences are. The A food, the junk food, the froth. It's trampled under the wayside. Just lots of stuff going on. Oh, yeah, here's the Word of God. Oh, that's a scripture from Isaiah. Oh, that's from 13th Matthew. How lovely. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. That's the wayside. Some is sown on rocky ground. And as soon as the sun comes up, it dries out and burns up. And that's when we're kind of hard emotionally and don't realize that our hearts can be softened by the Word of God. So as soon as some challenge comes up, we forget the Word of God. We forget that seed that's growing in us. And we resist something in the world. And sown on thorny ground among the cares of the person themselves and their fearful wishes, the thorns don't let it grow either. It's on good soil. And good soil is the soil of the heart. It's not found in the head. And the Word of God is sown to be grown in our hearts, so that the feeling of who we are, not the thought of our identity or any concept or word or anything we've done or could do or our experiences, the heart is the center of our creature, and the heart is what is meant to bloom into the Son of God, the Word of God, and into the love incarnate that we were created to be. So in Isaiah, my word, now this is Isaiah speaking, God speaking through Isaiah. Today we might call it he's channeling, but I don't like that. But it's not, what I want you to get is it's not Isaiah saying this. He's a vessel. He's a vehicle. And through him, God says, my word shall not go forth from me unfulfilled. It must return to me, having accomplished the purpose for which I sent it. Now, I learned that first as a metaphysical concept. Metaphysical in the sense that I wanted to learn to be powerful in my world. And I began to realize through the studies I was doing that my word is a seed, and it goes forth, and it returns a crop, just like I've sown it. And seeds of complaint, seeds of depression, seeds of discouragement, are all seeds that I have sown many times in my life. And the crop they grow is nothing I want to be part of. You can try it in a relationship like a marriage. I've sown bad seed and sown good seed in my marriage, and I like the seed of God. I like what happens when I sow the seed of love. Which words are powerful, majestic, praise-filled, glorifying, uplifting, and creative? Those are the kinds of words I wanted to learn to sow. So I did my affirmations over and over and over, because I wanted to reprogram this mind to sow good seed so that I could get a good crop in return. But then I realized, well, I am a seed, and God has sown his word into me. And what's most interesting is not what I can grow in the world, but what God can grow in me. My word cannot return to me unfulfilled. It must accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. Christ is the Word. Christ is the Word of God. Now let's look at word for just a second. The word, word. What an interesting word, word is. The word. In the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And from Him all things came to be, and nothing that came to be without Him. And so what we're hearing here is, that through John's voice, that the Word is the creative principle itself that came into the world in the person of Jesus and sowed more Word, more seed, to make more fruit like Himself. The creative principle by which creation comes into being is the Word. Now, in the beginning, God said, "Let there be." Now, this metaphor is telling us how it is with us, too. We say, "Let there be. Let there be happiness in my home. I will praise my wife. I will be grateful for all she does. I will be grateful for all God has given me. I will praise His creation." That Word brings a whole experience of life to me. It's a creative principle. Now, here's the trick. Our words never leave us. All the things we utter, every little gripe, every little bit of discouragement, every bit of projected criticism, never leaves our personal consciousness. Jesus put it this way: there is no idle word. Brain surgeons, Robert Penrose from McGill University, did brain surgery back in the 50s using cryo probes, trying to help people with Parkinson's. And he would touch a lobe, and a whole memory would come back from a person's childhood, complete with colors and background sounds, and the whole panoply was there, recorded faithfully. So when we eat words that either that we speak or think or take in from the outside, it stays with us, becomes part of our corpus, part of our body, what we call in the work our time body. It's a little book that's opened up at the end of our days when we come into the light of blazing love. Here's the little book of my life. This is what I said. This is where I went. This is how I took it. This is what I did with the seed you gave me, Lord. And in the light of love, that seed will see itself. So this creative Word is like a loaded gun in our mouths. Put it out dark. Put it out mean. Put it out rotten. Okay, it's your consciousness. You have a complete free right to speak, say, think as you wish. That's the way we were created. These seeds have no choice but to give their own conscious will to growing. A mustard seed, an acorn, if the conditions are right, they've just got to grow. That's all there is to it. But the human being is a self-willed creature, and he or she can feed herself on whatever word or speak whatever word he or she wants to. But there comes a time when we realize that the creative principle that's been entrusted to us is alive, is loaded. And we would want to teach our mechanism. Last week we identified our mechanicality as our worst enemy, because it just keeps us doing the same thing over and over and over and over, like Ecclesiastes. To come to life and to break these repetitious patterns of dysfunction and unconsciousness requires us to open to something new and to take something at a deeper level, to understand that this Bible is about me. And it's filled with the intelligence of the universe itself. There's no guy called God that says, "Hey, Isaiah, tell him this." The intelligence of this creation, the intelligence that manifested these beautiful flowers behind me and gave us the hearts that appreciate them, the intelligence of this universe has manifested wisdom in these pages and in the pages of the teachings of the saints and sages of all the ages. That intelligence is saying, "This is for you. This will wake you up. This will make you real. This will soften your heart. This will ease your burdens. This will liberate your mind." And if we're caught in the world of eating A influences, the food of A, we'll go, I've sown on the beaten path. But if we feel a need, if we feel something isn't working in our lives, if we feel that there's got to be more, and we're willing to make efforts for that more, because we can't be passive on the spiritual journey. No passivity. This is an active choice we make. If we're willing to realize there's more and then to make the efforts required for that more to begin to grow in us, we will see wonders. We will see marvels. Things that we never expected or anticipated will start to come into our lives because we've been sowing good seed and bearing good fruit. The creative principle in us, let's say we take the word of Isaiah. My word, says God, cannot return to me unfulfilled. It has to accomplish what I send it to do. So we take that word into ourselves and we realize, oh my goodness, I'm like God in the sense, in his image and likeness, and everything I say is sowing seed in the world and sowing seed in my body mind. I'd like to learn to sow good seed and to feed it with miracle grow. And the miracle grows to silence. Daily, as Barb said, down into the silence. Deeper than our words, no matter whether they're good words or bad words in the thoughts and concepts that trail through our heads. Deeper than culture. Deeper than conditioning, deeper than anything the senses has is the reality of pure being. And in pure being, we come right into intelligence itself, wisdom itself, truth itself, light, life, capital L, life itself. Personally present within us, waiting for our acknowledgement that it needs watering and feeding to begin to grow. So this word that God spoke in the beginning had within it everything that we see around us and all the potentials that are inherent in him, a possibility. All possibility was always already there from the very beginning. And we realize that possibility stage by stage, age by age, as a species. Presently, our species has come up against the karmic residue of its habits of personal consciousness. The collective is made up of unique individuals like ourselves. And the consciousness that we have brought to our earth, to the human community, is a consciousness that has yielded a very poor harvest, that is yielding a drought. It is yielding a famine of meaning, a famine of worth. Now that's a real opportunity. When we begin to notice the difficulties of our ecosystem, our political system, our economic system, our cultural systems, when we see these aren't going anywhere, we'll realize that they're a result of past sowing. And of existing on junk food, primarily A influences, sent down from our ancestors, faithfully forwarded by us to our ancestors, unless something comes to interrupt that forward flow, called the presence of life itself. And you or me, as one of these seeds begins to bloom in our hearts and find the inherent joy in simply living, the radiant beauty of life that's all around us but goes unnoticed because we're so entranced by A influences. Truth and beauty and love are part of our birthright as human beings. And if they have not manifested in our lives and if they are not manifesting in our world, it's possible for us to be instructed by this and to realize that we can take these seeds because God made good seed in every case. Every one of us is good seed. But that seed has to be brought into the right nutritional context. And the things that feed it and the things that transform it are not casually available. We've got to go get them. Got to sit down with the Bible and read. Not to get to the end of a sentence and the end of a chapter and the end of a gospel, but to read now. My word, says God, cannot return to me unfulfilled. It must accomplish what I send it to do. Did he send you? Did he sow you? Did he sow me? Well, what that means is it's ready to go. Everything's in place. And the word that Christ is sown into our hearts. So where is the opportunity? It's to transcend cultural values, cultural norms, cultural habits, personal habits, and begin to feed on the living word. Be influences that will sometimes turn into be see influences in our sits, in our silent times. We'll be sitting silently, and all of a sudden, a deep knowing will come on us that we never suspected we could know or could be known. The word, when sown, will begin to sprout in ways we can't understand, but it needs daily care and feeding. I started doing a daily spiritual practice in 1976 when I sobered up and realized that my life was totally out of control. I had lost a job, a wife, most of my friends, hugely in debt. And there was God saying, why don't you use this time to do something creative? And I, by miracle, found a church and was desperate enough to believe the teachings exactly as they were offered to me and did exactly what I was told to do. And lo and behold, his word was fulfilled. It accomplished the purpose he sent it to do. Where'd doubt go? Doubt's all gone. Fear's gone. Still a little anger, roundy edges, but that's not much like it used to be. Barb seen some of that. Where'd that go? It's not because I learned to act different. Our actions are the result of the kind of consciousness we have. Our actions are the result of what or who we think we are. And if we identify cosmically as seeds of the living one, as gifts of the word to the world, we will have a totally different destiny than if we identify with our experiences and our things that we own and what we want to do and what we don't like. Different worlds. The disciples in the 13th chapter of Matthew say to Jesus, why did you just talk to those people in parables? Why don't you talk straight out to see? Why don't you just tell them how it is? And he said, they'll never get it. Isaiah said the same thing. Seeing, you don't see. Hearing, you're not hearing what I'm talking about, and you just don't understand. So Jesus repeats that. He says, see, like Isaiah said, they see something, but they don't see what I'm talking about. Oh, they hear the words, but they don't hear the meanings. And they just don't understand that they're not separated individuals. They're not entities set over and apart from each other. They are man, one being with 7 billion faces and one heart. 7 billion of us. And we're all one in the heart of God and in our own red hearts. We're all the same in the heart. Now, heart medicine comes in a lot of forms. Heart food comes in a lot of forms. But you won't get it easily. It's very easy to turn on the TV and be seduced by the hypnotic flow of possibilities in other people's lives. It's very easy to casually engage in conversation that really isn't about anything. And it's not bad to do that. It's really easy. But it's really harder to go pick up the Bible or pick up one of Thomas's books or pick up Bernadette's books and sit down with them and ask God to tell you what they mean. Ask them to come to life in you, not as information. They're not information. Bernadette's books aren't information. The Bible isn't information, it's food. And when that food touches our hearts and quickens the seed of truth that's already there, the word that has been spoken by God and will come to fruit if we just feed it, we will be astonished. And we will become part of the solution. The difficulties that face us today can be discouraging. I was born in 1943. I guess I had 2 years. I didn't really know anything. 2 years of my life were spent before the world could be destroyed totally. But all of my life, in conscious awareness, there was a sword hanging over the world that had never been put there before. The whole thing's over. The whole thing could be over. The human experiment could be a failure. The earth could be a cinder. And we had the choices to make it that way. Now that can be doom and gloom and can be dismal. So we could either, we could do what good addicts do and what I was really good at doing for years. I lived in denial. I lived in denial. What do you do with these big problems that are on the face of history? With this threat that comes economically, socially, politically, ecologically? Denial? Well, that's certainly a response, a nice passive response, and you can ride it to the end if you want. But there's another response, which is to stand up and become the people God made us to be and do the part we were given to do. And only that. We don't have to save the world. We don't have to save all the coral reefs. We don't have to fix the food chain, because those are too big. What we can do every single day is change our consciousness, change our personal consciousness, open it to real food, open it to real spiritual gifts from the silence of spirit, and become part of the creative solution of a world that is waiting to be born, that is free of fear, free of duality, free of unconsciousness, and fulfilling the destiny that man was created for in the first place, as the seed that contains the Word of God itself, that is the Word of God, and that can manifest the Word of God, the very presence of God in this physical world. There's daily study. Daily. You got to breathe every day, the food of air. You got to eat every day, the food for the body. And you need to feed the spirit every day too with the food of impressions that are spiritually alive, spiritually quickening, spiritually exhilarating, and spiritually transformative. Nobody's going to force us to do this. Each of us has a choice of how to respond. But if we understand that the creature with 9 billion faces and one heart is made up of me and people like me all over, and that one healthy cell is a great contribution to a transformed whole, if we can catch the vision, if we can get the scent in our nostrils for what it is that's beckoning us, we don't have to cave into doubt, and we don't have to cave into fear. We've got a rock of faith to stand on and the Word of God to believe, and then we will witness for ourselves what the saints have always promised, what the prophets have prophesied, and what Christ revealed, that God and His creation are one, that the human family is one, that the earth and all its inhabitants are one, that the heavens and everything in them are one. What's for lunch? Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
draw us near.
And now it's time to join together in centering prayer for community. And to prepare ourselves, let's just first become aware that the chairs that we're sitting on are supporting our body weight. And when we become aware of that, we can accept that support and let go. Deeply relax. Letting ourselves become still within and without. Relaxed, open, alert, we allow our attention to fall gently into the area of the heart, the seat of life itself, the seat of divine love. Resting in the heart, we listen with the ear of the heart to the contemplative poet. My days are all spent in decorating my house. I am forever preparing for your arrival. I hunger for your presence, yet I take not the time to wait for your coming. And to my great sorrow, you never arrive. It is because I refuse to be silent that I cannot hear you. It is because I refuse to await you that you cannot come. It is because I refuse to be idle that I cannot enjoy you. It is because I am too busy hanging decorations that I cannot welcome you home. Yet, in your deep wisdom, your presence leans toward mine. You understand my decorations to be symbols of my hunger, and you know of the day when my heart will be swept clean, and the only decoration needed will be the space for you. And I will listen for your coming like the night awaiting day. And now, in this good company, we open the space of our heart and wait with quiet expectation. In peace and with confidence, let us pray our family prayer as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that feeds us. And we do it in the spirit of God's endless, infinite, abundant supply for every particle of His creation. Taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, we tell the truth. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, we are so blessed when we simply remember God. Amen. Awake now to the germ of life in our hearts. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. The Eucharist is food, a B influence, visible, carrying a C influence, invisible. Just like your body, my body, physical, carrying something spiritual, something seen, something not seen. You know, I'm going to read what Thomas said, but I was reminded as I was looking at the communion today that in the cup is forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin. There's a whole load of stuff that goes with that. Bernadette Roberts cut to the chase when she said, God doesn't care what you did a second ago. Whoa, that felt dangerous. Do you know what I'm saying? Isn't it kind of, dare I? Just act like it's okay? Well, from God's point of view, it is. In the Eucharist, we're not only joined to Christ, whom we believe is present with his whole being under these symbols of bread and wine, but we believe that we are joined with all other Christians, with every member of the human race, and with the whole of creation. Christ is in the hearts of all men and women, and in the heart of all creation, sustaining everything in being. This mystery of oneness enables us to emerge from the Eucharist with a refined inward eye and invites us to perceive the mystery of Christ everywhere and in everything. He who is hidden from our senses and intellect becomes more and more transparent to the eyes of faith, to the consciousness that is being transformed. The Spirit in us perceives the Spirit in others. The Eucharist is the celebration of life, the dance of the divine in human form. We are a part of that dance. Each of us is a continuation of Christ's incarnation, insofar as we are living Christ's life in our own lives, or rather, instead of our own lives. The Eucharist is the summary of all creation coming together in a single hymn of praise, surrender, and thanksgiving. In the Eucharist, all creation is transformed again into His divine person and thrust into the depths of the Father forever and ever. Even material creation has become divine in Him. Join together in prayer. Abba, we thank You that we know You hear us now, and that we know You always hear us. It's You who are giving us words, You who are teaching us to pray, and You who are giving us faith to pray with, that lets us know and be certain that You always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out Your Spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of Your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate His body to our bodies and His blood to our blood. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in Your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night He was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is My body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, He took the cup, and again He gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of My blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember Me." This is the blood of Christ.
Thank you.
living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing Amazing Grace. Really, really, really. Prayer. We thank you for whetting our appetite and teaching us to hunger for food that transforms. Amen.